Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Introducing former Warriors sideline reporter, Matt Steinmetz.
Phenomenal hair.
Former sales rep for a phone company, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And former Wheel of Fortune contestant, Dan Dibley.
No.
This is Steiny Guru and Dibs.
For show.
On 95.7, The Game.
All right, good morning, everybody. Since we last ended the show, 49ers got a little bad news with Raheem Mostert. Another high ankle sprain for one of the boys, and he is likely headed toward the injured list, which will mean he'll miss at least three games. And a lot of people think Raheem Mostert is one of the cogs that makes the San Francisco 49ers go. It's been a season of injuries, guys. There's no doubt about it. Does the injury to Raheem Mostert, does that alter your expectations of how far the 49ers can go? Good morning, Dibs. Good morning, Goo. What hey. Is happening?
Yeah, inverted that. Normally it's good morning, and then we go straight to the injury list. It's like when you know you wake up next to your significant other and you do that half turn and you're looking for maybe a little sugar, and it's, don't forget you have to take out the trash today. Don't forget you got to do this. You got to pick up little Timmy later today. It's like, can I at least get a hey, how you doing? But yes, Steiny, good morning. And wow, we go straight to the injury list. Here is Dr. Johnson. Please report to the IL.
Steiny, I don't know if you know this. Just peek behind the curtain. We're on Zoom, and Dibs and I got a little ritual going. It's like the little chest bump before the Warriors. You know how you get on the court, so you missed it. But anyway, Steiny, yes, this is not a little bad news. This is Tom Hanks big, Dibs. This is big bad news. And we saw the second half of the Ram game to where I felt the offense felt the effect of Mostert. We're talking about a track star that can, on any play, take it to the house. That's the end zone for the people out there listening. And now you don't have that to scare these defensive coordinators. I'm not saying they can't get their goal, which I think should be curtailed now. And you know, we'll talk about it here coming up. But this is big, and I'm just here. I'm not going to doubt Hasty, but it's like I feel like the Mullen thing is happening all over again when we just put him up there like, oh, the offense is going to be all state. It's in good hands. Well, guess what? It wasn't, and I'm not knocking Hasty, but he's not Mostert, fellas.
How do you know?
That's a super counterpoint.
You didn't
right
even
there.
We didn't even know we didn't even know what Mostert was. We didn't even know what
got
Mostert
me there.
Was.
But how do you not know that I'm not correct? That's what I'll say to you, Steiny. How do you not know? You know what I mean?
Well, so here's the thing, Gook, and you talked about scaring defenses and Halloween 11 days away from whatever this year's edition is going to be. But there's different ways to scare people. There's the skeleton, there's the goblin, there's the werewolf. There's all kinds of different ways to scare people. And if you're Kyle Shanahan and you're building a house of horrors of an offense and you're this great puppet master, you're the genius – you're going to find a way to, quote, scare other teams, even without your track star. And you're right, your home run hitter. You also have Jet McKinnon, who's got elite speed. You have the fastest tight end in the game. You have other ways to scheme guys open to where this shouldn't be a season ender.
Oh, absolutely not. And that's, I guess, what where I would press Guru a little bit. You know, if you came into this season and you were saying – the goal and the only goal is to win the Super Bowl. Well, first of all, that's unrealistic. And secondly, that goal isn't even off the table at this point. So I looked at the 49ers before the season, and we were talking about their expectations. And from the way I look at it, they were 13-3 last year. They got some breaks during the regular season, and it allowed them to have home field throughout. They ended up taking that to the Super Bowl. All right? I'm not naive enough to think, well, they're going to go 13-3 again and have home field throughout. I never thought that. In fact, I think we all acknowledged this year might be tougher. How many times have we heard, you know what, they might not finish 13-3. They could be 11-5, but they could actually be a better team, depending on how it happens. They're 3-3 right now. They just came off a win against the Rams, a division rival. Yeah, they just lost a running back for a few games. But to me, nothing, zero, has changed at this point. They still have a very good chance to make the playoffs, and making the playoffs is the first step toward building something consistent for this organization and this franchise. And I just feel like there's a big difference between 13-3 and then 6-10, as opposed to 13-3, 9-7, and maybe you lose a wild card game.
I don't think the record matters as long as you get to the offs. And Guru and I like that abbreviation, so we may go ahead and try to vote that into law here on Steiny, Guru, and Dibs with a 2-3 majority vote. So ultimately, you just
get into it. And Kyle don't count?
Oh, sure they do. Sure they do. We'll give them half votes each, just the guys behind the glass. You know, Kyle's vote counts. Kyle gets a full vote from Friday at 7 p.m. until Monday at 5 a.m., unless he's filling in for nice guy Steven, then he gets that extra hour. But I digest, as we occasionally will say. I think, Steiny, the record doesn't matter as long as you do what you said, make the playoffs. 8 of the last 10 runners-up made the playoffs, one of whom that didn't was the Rams, and they were 9-7. So if the Niners go 9-7, especially considering all the injuries, and they don't make the offs, that, for me, is forgivable.
You know what? Both you guys make great points, but Steiny, what I'll say to what you said, and you're spot on. Everything you said is factual, but the difference between this year and last year, my friend, is last year that defense could be packed in the suitcase. You were taking it everywhere. Every city had to worry about the top-tier defense that came out of nowhere, led by Bosa. It is any given Sunday on what 49er team we're going to see moving forward. And to me, you're operating from a place of weakness because you've yet to hone in on your identity or the identity you're trying to create. I'm definitely, fellas, not saying the offs are off the table. I'm not. And I'm saying this because I mean it. If the Niners do qualify for the playoffs, I have moved the goalposts. That, in essence, would be some of Kyle Shanahan's best work. But this team, we don't know what they are, Steiny. We don't know if Hasty's going to answer the bell. We don't know if Jimmy's ready to hang in there. The running game is what they hung their hat on last year. Guess what? You just lost Mostert. So the math is there, and you are right. They could shock the world, but I just don't
shock
know
the
who
world.
The 2029ers are and how
world.
They're going to do it.
No, it's not shocking the world. They're still a damn good team. Here's the other thing.
What's their strength, Steiny? We don't know. They got their third string center in. We got a new running back.
Let's go down all the teams. Okay. What's everybody? What's the Rams' strength? I don't know what it was,
defense?
But it was mitigated on Sunday, wasn't it? And you're talking about the defense. The 49ers just got their two cornerbacks back. Richard Sherman's coming back. They gave up 43 points to the Dolphins. They bounce back right away the very next week in a must-win. They hold the Rams to 16. Clearly, their defense is getting healthier. I mean, why are you giving, like, Kyle Shanahan and everybody a pass and an excuse? They're still right there.
Mm-hmm. Dibs. No. I love.
I got
passion.
That from you, Goo. I got that from you.
Help me out, Dibs.
I'm not willing to give them a pass, Goo, because you look at the situation they're in at 3-3. 8-8 might be good enough, and at 9-7 almost certainly will be with the seventh playoff team. And you look at the situation you're looking at as far as running back goes. You still have Jet McKinnon. you still have an all-pro fullback, and you use a lot of the fullback in this offense. You have enough pieces with Jeff Wilson Jr. hopefully coming back. He showed you signs. You can piecemeal it. And oh, by the way, you run Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk a ton. So as much as Loneal was explaining yesterday, and he's absolutely right about the Patriots playing a wide nine, putting their defensive ends further out toward the hash mark and even beyond to try to negate that lateral run game, that's fine. Kyle Shanahan then is going to use the middle of the field to try to counteract that with short passes and screens. So this is going to be more of a Kyle Shanahan game than the Ram game was, because he's not going to have his number one running weapon, but he knows they've got to run the ball. If they run it 30 times, they almost always win the game. So that is going to be the creative way. How does he get to 30 runs using this mishmash of backs, including Jamichael Hasty?
Well, Steiny, you used the word real quick here. You used the word pass. And the pass was, yeah, Shanny's known for his offense, rightfully so. But at the end of the day, he's the head coach. And we can't ignore the elephant in the room, which is the injuries. Outside of the Niners, what, Dallas and the Philadelphia Eagles have endured the most injuries of any team in, you know, this season. And to me, that qualifies or constitute as a pass in regard to you weren't at your full self to defend the throne, to get back. I'm not saying they can't do it, but I do understand, Dibs, that this might, they may not even, they may go 9-7 like the Rams did, and I can look you two in the face and say this was some of Kyle Shanahan's best work with what he had at his disposal.
What are you talking about?
To be competitive.
What are you talking about? They've been, they're essentially healthy on offense. They lost. They have a stable of running backs. That's the way they do it. They don't do it with Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah. They don't do it with Henry. They've got a stable of backs, and now one of their running backs is going to be out for two or three, for at least 3 weeks, most likely. They have all their receivers. They have their best tight end still. They got Jimmy Garoppolo back, coming off a great game. I'm not giving this offense. What is Kyle Shanahan, just because he doesn't have Raheem Mostert, he gets a pass?
Well, they got a third-string center too, Dibs. I mean, that's a big
plus
deal.
Tevin Coleman has been out. George Kittle missed a couple games. Deebo Samuel was out early.
I'm talking about right now.
I know, Steiny, but work with me on the idea of cohesiveness and the fact that when we talk Warriors and Wiggins has never played with Clay and Steph and Draymond, they've all never played together. So there's going to be a feeling out period there, just as there is with an offense that had no OTAs, it had no joint practices, it had no preseason games, and yet you had Deebo out, Deebo in, Kittle out, no Coleman. Now you've got no Mostert, most likely, for at least 3 weeks. Jamichael Hasty is used to running, not even with the twos, Goo. He's running with the threes, and right. Now he's a guy you're looking at thinking, 12 to 15 touches, Jamichael. I hope you're up to the task. So, Steiny, you're right in that they are now mostly whole. They don't have Coleman. They don't have Mostert. The weapons on the wide receiver position are intact. And, you know, maybe with the trade deadline 2 weeks from today, the possibility of, I don't know, adding a piece, small, medium, or large, that suddenly now becomes a thing, especially at 3-3 where you're very much in the thick of it.
Yeah, I hear you. And they've been banged up early in this season. There's no doubt about it. But they're getting healthier right now. You lose Mostert, but Richard Sherman ideally is going to be coming back. You got Mosley back last week. I mean, this team is whole enough to still be more than competitive. Mm. Absolutely. They still have their quarterback. Right now they have their two top wide receivers. By the way, what'd you guys think of my idea last night on the text line? That was a pretty good idea, wasn't it?
Can you refresh
on our little text thread?
Yeah, help
those
me out.
Those things were flying around.
I had some
around,
gold bar
like,
whiskey, too. Yeah,
yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm
no
like the birds of Bodega Bay.
Goo, I was in it out.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, did you see Guru last night, Dibs?
With the how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
No, with the text thread or on Twitter?
It was on Twitter. I guess I don't know, I guess Damon Bruce is his idol, so he saw Damon tweet something about Gold Bar Whiskey, and then Guru had a,
No, hold on. And I love DB. Shasky came over for the Elevate Your Tailgate and left me with a couple bottles of Gold Bar
whiskey.
Wait
a minute. I thought you did that before.
Yeah, I did just a couple weeks ago. So I had
to crack open
the Gold Bar whiskey.
Nice.
I didn't see Damon tweet about Gold Bar whiskey.
Yes, you do. You see everything on Twitter. wait a minute. So Shasky's done two with you right now?
Just one. We just did mine last week.
Steiny, to be totally honest, I saw the Cowboys down 21-0 and thought, I'm not checking Guru's Twitter. I mean, that's a no fly zone.
I'm relatively quiet. Yeah.
Well, yeah,
but, Steiny, that's why I said Gold Bar Whiskey is my friend, because, you know, I was dealing with some things. But
right,
I'm back.
Right.
And, Steiny, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think you think I'm judging the offense by itself, and I'm not. I'm judging the defense. And the defense was a great story Sunday. But, you know, honestly, Jared Goff missed a lot. He left a lot of chicken on the bone. And moving forward with the lack of pass rush, because he wasn't under duress, I just feel defensively, if that's the reason this team, you know, if they put up 40 and lose dibs, we can't come down Shanahan's road for the defense and how it's been decimated, because you have to deal and pay the price of what you lost. And what you lost, Steiny, is a top-tier pass rushers.
Right.
And I just think that's going to come back and bite you in the keister at some point.
Throwing Solomon Thomas.
Yeah,
well, they missed a rusher. They missed a great pass rusher.
If Quinn Cook blows out his Achilles in 2017, it's akin to Solomon Thomas being lost for the year. I mean, that's no disrespect to either.
We love
I wish I had both their career, but neither one of them is a major contributor. Guru, if I offered you two stat lines, you tell me which one's better.
Okay.
I'll give you 759 yards and 6 touchdowns, okay, for a career, or 1,998 yards and 15 touchdowns. Which one would you say is better?
The latter, the 1,900. Yeah,
I'm comparing two running backs and their careers in college. The first was Raheem Mostert, 4 years at Purdue. He carried it 136 times, so about, about 40 times a year. At Purdue, Hasty carried it almost 400 times and had 3 times the yardage. My point being, the drop-off from Raheem Mostert and Jamichael Hasty may be a lot smaller than you think based on what we know about both. Raheem Mostert, with less than a half a season of real, full-time, you're-the-man football, and Jamichael Hasty has a quarter. So there is a possibility that Hasty is enough Mostertian, as I create on the fly here, that the drop-off is not so precipitous.
And, Dibs, I know.
Nice.
I think you just misspoke here. It didn't come out right. Baylor is the college for Hasty.
What did I say, Rice?
No, you said Purdue, but it was at the tail end of talking about Mostert. So I thought, but somebody just asked me.
I let it go, Dibs. Yeah.
No, we can go to the tape later. I'm happy to take that. I may use my only challenge of the first half on that.
It's an interesting, if we do go to the tape, it'll be very interesting because it was kind of right in the middle. And see, this is the difference between me, Dibs, and these other guys.
Uh-huh.
I knew you knew it was Baylor, and when you said Purdue, you were referencing Mostert. These guys are the kind of guys that look to jump on something like that.
Yeah.
Did we get him? Did we get him? Can we catch him?
It's gotcha journalism, Steiny, is what it is. The TMZification of this radio program. Yeah. Kyle, am I wrong?
CHPs, I call them, dude. It's the Highway Patrol.
In an era where fact-based news is important and vital, I feel that correction is necessary.
Okay.
Because Jamichael Hasty did not and never went to Purdue.
Thank you. Thank you.
888-957-9570 is the number.
Right, right.
We got off the air yesterday. The 49ers had beaten the Rams 24-16, 3-3, feeling good. And then after the show, we find out Raheem Mostert, high ankle sprain, likely headed toward the injured list, which will mean an automatic 3 games in the least. Where are you right now, San Francisco 49er fans? Have your expectations for the season changed? Have they changed? Have you gone from, we got to win the Super Bowl to, you know, if they make the playoffs, that'll be fine? Have they gone from, the 49ers should make the playoffs to, you know what, if they don't make the playoffs, I totally get it, and there's nothing you can do? I'm not at the point where you're throwing up your hands right now and saying, oof, woe is us. We've had a lot of injuries. It's going to be really hard to get it done. So let's just go out there, give it the old college try. And if we can't do it, no harm, no foul. I don't think they're there yet. I didn't think they were there last week before the Rams. And I don't think they're going to be there after the Patriots game, regardless of what happens. You have a lot of season to play.
And you know what? You are right, Steiny. And we talk about we play the schedule game, damn it, Dibs, so much, and rightfully so. It's out there. And when you hear the word Patriots, you think of their Super Bowl window. But at the end of the day, I just real quick want to double back to yesterday and give Kyle Shanahan his flowers of the game plan he devised against the Rams.
Goo.
What is the problem with me? You're not giving Kyle any credit for that game plan Sunday?
I told you. Get to 500 and get back to me, Kyle. I'm kidding.
Oh, overall.
But here's my fantastic. But here's my point, Goo. It's like I feel like you look for reasons to let Kyle off the hook.
Because
you've gone out on a limb and said, this guy's the greatest this guy's the greatest that. So because Mostert's out and they're decimated, you're taking any kind of responsibility off him.
Yeah, you're on. I'll allow that, Guru. I think he's in. I think he's in the right place with that one, because ultimately, if you are a genius, you should be able to go from Mostert to Hasty and company and not have it cost you in such a way that you can't compete with a Patriots team that is reeling, unlike anything we've seen in 20 years. Kate Scott this morning on the Morning Roast with a great nugget about this being their worst start, I think, since 02. The deepest in the season, they've been below 500. So this is not your older brother's or your father's Patriots juggernaut. This team is struggling.
Yeah, and Steiny, I'm shocked and really stunned that you think I would give anybody a pass, because, Dibs, before you joined us, said one of the warts on Kyle Shanahan is situational football, that, you know, he's got so much going through his brain, he gets away from what's working. What I was doing was, just like a baby, taking the temperature of what I – because I predicted the Niners to lose last week to the Rams by 21 points, and I was blown away and could not ignore, Steiny, the fact that he said, I'm going to get rid of the ball quick so we'll negate Donald and that Ram defense.
Oh, my gosh. You mean he thought like an offensive coordinator. Wow.
Well,
come on, Goo.
How many teams have done that this year? The Rams came in with 20 sacks and didn't record one. I was just giving kudos to them because that went a long way in them getting a win that a lot of people didn't expect.
You guys.
And in this game, you're going to have to devise a completely different game plan. Not only because you're going against Belichick, but because you don't have Raheem Mostert. But to sit back and say, well, you know, add this to the list of woe is me. This is woe is me football. No Sherm, no Bosa, no Kwan, no D Ford, and now no Mostert. Oof. You know what? I guess we might as well start thinking about the draft. They're not thinking that, so we shouldn't think that. And when you look at Kyle Shanahan, and we all want to put him on this pedestal of genius offensive football, and I think he deserves to be among that group, these are the times where you devise a game plan with your personnel to still get it done. It doesn't mean you have to go out and win, but you have to have an offense that puts some fear into this Patriot team, because the Patriot defense is still very good now. You may have to win this game 17-16, but Kyle Shanahan's job is to figure out a way to get that done.
Yeah, and he's got to do it against a guy who's pretty good defensively and also a coach who knows Jimmy Garoppolo pretty well. 888-957-9570 is the number. 49ers, hey, they've got a little adversity right now. And that's kind of what I'm calling it. They've got some adversity. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Every team that's ever won anything, every team that's ever gotten to the end of the year and had a successful season, they've gone through it. It's just adversity. That's it. No time to panic. No time to quit. Adam in San Francisco, what's going on? You're on with Dibley, Guru, Steinmetz. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? I want to comment to you, Steiny, about have my expectations as a fan changed? I'd say yeah. You know, the way they sealed that game with all three parts of the team really coming together, you know, it was amazing. The punt, the red zone interception, you know, the extra effort by Debo, you know, that's what changes it for me. And you're right. They run with a stable. They run by committee. They're going to get their 30 touches. You know, Hasty's going to contribute. And it's Shanahan, really, that's gonna orchestrate that. He's going to be a factory of utility backs and guys.
Right.
Guys are going to come out of there looking like superstars.
So, Adam. Adam, let me get this straight. So before the Rams game, you had kind of lessened your expectations. But after the Ram game, you're saying, you know what, we could still have a successful season.
Yeah, I mean, after the Dolphins and the O-line performance, everyone said, hey, you got to run the ball. And I'm listening to Sean Salisbury, and he says this line has better PFF in the run than they do the pass. You know, they showed that. They have a really unique – I mean, was that a pass to Debo? That's a run, whatever. Their running game is stout. Their defense is coming around. They're healthy at the right time, to use a really classic cliche.
Thanks, Adam. Good stuff. I'm with you. I don't put my tail between my legs when things don't go my way. Well, I do, but I tell people I don't.
I was just about to – yeah.
But the point is this, Goo. They have every reason to believe they can go into New England and win that game. In fact, you have to give them almost more of a chance to beat New England than you gave them to beat the Rams. So,
yeah, no doubt. Oh,
everything's on the up and up. And here's the other thing. This schedule game, I can't stand it, Dibs. I can't stand it. Because, you ran through the gamut last week, and everybody laughed at me when I got the 9 or 10 wins.
You were win.
Everybody
you had
laughed
to win in
at
seven of the next eight, Steiny. Right now, you're off to a good start.
I don't care. I don't care about eight. I don't care about eight. I don't care about 6-4, 3. All I know is they hammered the Rams. Game wasn't even as close as 8 points.
Stop.
Now they go to New England.
Hammer the Rams. Rams were a few drops away from
Dibley put that
game around.
Dibley put that notebook down with the schedule on it.
I did
don't
this
do
back
this
in
me.
August, Steinmetz.
Don't do this
him,
to me.
I had him at 11-5. Now, what's interesting, Goo, is the Niners, as we know, are 3-3, but more importantly, I'm 4-2. I've gotten 4 of them right. 2 of them wrong. I do have them losing back-to-back games to New England and Seattle, but that's back when we used to play the schedule game, Steiny. And I know how much
I don't do that. All I know is the 49ers are coming off a big, satisfying win. And now I look at them as favorites in New England, flat out. What is the
line?
What
does Vegas say?
I don't know.
While you check that, up in 10 minutes, we'll tell you about another injury that probably hurts as much as Mostert that no one's talking about, Steiny, including you.
You're right, and you'll find out in 10 minutes why you won't hear me talking about what you just mentioned. Let's just put it that way. 888-957-9570. San Francisco 49ers taking on the New England Patriots. 125. That's a 425 start, if I'm not mistaken, in Foxborough. What does that do? What is that? Now, that's got to favor the Niners. Patriots getting a little sleepy on a Sunday night. 49ers playing when they normally play. That's what I'm talking. Like, everything's lining up, Goo. Everything.
I don't like the fact that the Patriots had their stinker, Dibs, before the Niners. You know what I mean? Now it's Jimmy coming back home. The hoodie's got so much on his, you know, on his desk. If they drop this one, which they can,
right.
I'm giving the Niners a chance to win this game, but man, a couple weeks ago, I was like Cam Newton for MVP. Haven't said that recently.
Well,
I haven't had no cap talk.
This is a classic double thermometer game because each team is going to have to check the temperature of their season after it because either team with a loss, that deals a pretty significant blow to what they're trying to do. For the 49ers, obviously, it would kill whatever momentum they're able to carry from an impressive Rams victory. And for the Patriots, you're starting to see some cracks in the dam. When you look across that squad, especially on offense, they don't have nearly the weaponry that they used to have. And, oh, by the way, Gronk is starting to heat up down in Tampa, and that's got to rub Belichick the wrong way. And maybe, Steiny, that was part of Belichick's motivation praising George Kittle. The fact that, you know, Gronk is starting to look like the old Gronk again.
Yo soy fiesta.
Yeah, let's actually, now that you mentioned it, Dibs, let's take a listen to Bill Belichick. He was asked about George Kittle on yesterday's conference call. Take a listen.
Yeah, Kittle's a great player. He does everything well. I put him right at the top of the league there, period. Ability to run, catch, get open, after the catch, block. I mean, he does everything at a high level. Again, as good as anybody that I've coached or as good as anybody that we played against. Got a great skill set, and you know, 49ers put him in positions that, again, really stress the defense and, you know, make it hard. But then they also use him as a, you know, somewhat as a decoy to open up things for other guys, too. And if you pay too much attention to him, it creates opportunities for some of their other outstanding players. And if you don't pay enough attention to him, then, you know, he can kill you. So, you know, he's in a great system. You know, he's a great player. I don't think there's a tight end in the league, and we've seen a lot of good ones and had a lot of good ones, but I don't think there's anybody in the league that does everything overall as well as he does. Just really doesn't have any weak points at all.
That's a shot fired at Rob Gronkowski in any league.
There you go. Whoa. He's at the top of the list first, period. Anybody I've coached, he said it twice. So Gronk and Tampa Bay, Gronk and Brady having some success, but that was a little diss to him, Diz. I'm a hip-hop guy. I know a diss when I hear.
My son would tell me, they talk about blems. Oh, you throwing blems, Dad? I'm like, what's that? And he's like, it's like short for blemish. So it's like a verbal blemish, I guess, a blem. Correct me if I'm wrong, 888-957-9570. I'm trying to stay up with the lingo, but that's the first thing I heard, Steiny, was – he's throwing absolute shade at Gronk. And on the heels of, you know, Gronk returning to the end zone and not looking like the Gronk of old, but a Gronk 2.0 that's still useful in this league.
I'll tell you what I heard there, and maybe I'm being overly simplistic, they're not going to let George Kittle beat him on Sunday, the Patriots. I believe that, first of all, I believe that anybody who watches George Kittle realizes how good he is. I'm sure some of that might have been just coach speak, but I think everybody realizes how good George Kittle is, and I wouldn't be surprised if focus number one for the Patriots on Sunday is to try to take him away and see if the 49ers can run the ball without Mostert and see if they can have some of their wideouts beat him. By the way, you didn't answer me on my idea with during the text thread.
Oh, you
never delivered it. I didn't.
We got off on the whiskey tangent. Yeah,
and I tuned out of the text thread early and often last night.
You put night night. I saw that night night. That's what I.
But that was this morning.
Were you looking?
Yeah. Why did that come? I thought I called the phone. People telling me.
Yeah, it got stuck in my phone. It got stuck as a draft. You know, your boy didn't completely hit the button.
Steiny, I got what's wrong with my unit?
No, man. That was human error on me. Yeah. What's wrong with my unit?
Little Bluetooth. Yeah.
Just chew it and do it.
Okay, here it is. Outlandish idea or, maybe he's got something.
I like this.
How about lining up Deebo Samuel a little in the backfield? Using him as a running back.
Oh, that's what it was. And it triggered in me Jalen Hurd because I was at the Texas A&M Tennessee game and Jalen Hurd was playing running back in Tennessee alongside some guy named Alvin Kamara. And it made me think, was that Deebo who's played running back? But no, it was Jalen Hurd. So I don't think you want to put Deebo Samuel under that duress. You can get him the ball in space already with the jet sweep motion. I don't think it benefits the offense or Deebo to have him back there.
And don't forget, Steiny, the Jones injury that he's dealing with. You know, it's still, you know, the residue's still there.
The Jones fracture. Deebo. Oh, no. Now we have healthy players who are playing, and we're now giving them an excuse because they're injured, even though they've played three straight games.
He's a receiver.
I mean, what the hell are we doing here?
Listen,
come on,
this
dude.
Is what I saw. This is what I saw, and this is what concerns me about this week. Just real quick. I saw wide receiver sweeps. I saw touch passes, touch screens, and that's all great. But I just think the hoodie, listening to that soundbite, is going to make Jimmy look like the Jimmy against Miami, to where you're going to have to throw the ball downfield, especially now that you don't have Mostert, Dibs. And I'm not saying he can't do it, because we saw him hit Kittle on 4-for-2 for the touchdown. But things change, and I just need to see that rapport continue with Garoppolo and the receivers when it's actually a down-the-field pass, if you get where I'm going.
And you need protection, and by the way, you're going against a good secondary in New England, so it's not going to be as easy as dropping five steps and letting it rip. The good news is Jimmy Garoppolo and his ankle looked better last week than it did the week before, and he actually played all four quarters, Gooch, shows. And I don't know if you saw the video of him running off the field post-game, and he said, "That was for you, Faithful. We miss you." He was looking good even after four quarters of football. There was no hitch in his giddy-up. So if you do need to throw it more, Steiny, if Belichick takes away Kittle and your run game without Mostert isn't that effective, you feel better now than you did last week about Garoppolo and the week before that, certainly coming off the ankle.
I mean, when he was running off that field, I was thinking, that's Usain Bolt right there. I mean, nice. He was moving. Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Oh, yeah. Hey, Rich, are you going to let Kyle Shanahan off the hook like the goo?
Yeah, and I think the reason why is because all the factors involved here. Okay. Guys, we got to be realistic. It's the NFL, and in the NFL, you know, the three letters stand for not for long. And so you look at the fact that the Niners are banged up, and guess what? There's other teams in the league that are banged up too. I'm not letting them totally off the hook. But my whole deal was this, was that, you know, when, you know, they were 2-2, I still wasn't ready to liquidate assets because I kind of felt like, well, you know what? They got over 10 games yet to play. And even though teams, you know, like, you know, the Bears and teams like, you know, Seattle are doing well, you still have to look at the fact that the season's long. And I tell you right, those teams, they're going to lose too. And they're going to have guys banged up too eventually. So, you know, you still, you know, look at the long-term effect of what you want to do. And if I'm Kyle Shanahan, what is my long-term effect? It's like everybody's expecting us to go back to Super Bowl because we were there. It's like, well, no. The reality is we are banged up, and we need to focus on the short term. And right now the short term for Kyle Shanahan is to win the NFC West. You do that, or at least finish number two, now you're going to the playoffs. So to me, that's really, you know, the aim and the goal for Kyle Shanahan. And by the way, Steinmetz, Bonte Hill wanted to tell you that he beat you, man. He was on my Game Face podcast last night, and he beat you. He got on there before you did.
He got on.
Thanks, Rich. Couldn't think of anything that I'm thinking less about right now than that. Okay, so, Dibs, you had said that the 49ers have a serious issue, not just with Raheem Mostert, but with somebody else.
Yes, another high ankle sprain. Everybody's focused on the shiny object.
Has.
The guy toting the rock. But you got a center, Ben Garland, who sustained a similar injury. And he was unable to continue and finish up the game. So your second string center, not just your first stringer, but now your second stringer is most likely having to go to IR. Announcement expected later today, which means it's time to make way for who, Steiny?
Grasu.
Who?
Wow.
Grasu, right?
They're not booing. They're grasuing at Levi Stadium. Hronis Grasu? What do you know about Hronis Grasu? Steiny, should I throw this to you, to the goo, or do we know any other
I'll pass. Experts? Yeah, throw it to Steiny.
You're taking your first pass here, goo?
Right.
And I'm going to spread the ball around, too, here and throw a little swing pass to Kyle Mattson, our producer. What do we know about Grasu?
Yeah, that's Hronis Grasu, actually. It's grass. He is the son of Stephen Mariana Grasu. He has one brother, not named via the University of Oregon athletic site here. A product of Crespi High School, of course. He was a general social science major, which sounds made up. Prior to playing four seasons at Oregon, where he was snapping to Marcus Mariota, still good friends with Marcus. Grasu, of course, spent some time with the Tennessee Titans. Before Oregon, he was a starter on both sides of the ball. He was first-team All-State as a sophomore in high school, so highly touted recruit. He was the number 100 defensive end prospect in the country. That was according to ESPN.com coming out, and then went on to have a stellar college career blocking for some very good Oregon teams, including the club that that went to the national championship. So Hieronymus Grasu is quite a player for the 49ers.
Well, and
give
I'll
yourself
tell you
a round of applause.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going to bring this back on Kyle Shanahan. Why the hell wasn't Grasu playing from the beginning? And yeah, your Grasu is my Grasu. So we'll figure. I'll tell you what, no sacks on Sunday. No sacks on Sunday for Garoppolo. I'll start calling him Grasu. Until then, it's Grasu. No, Grasu, it's Grasu. You know how I feel about pronouncing names correctly.
That was Getting to Know Grasu, brought to you by Kyle Madsen. Thank you, Kyle. That was
Kyle's brilliant.
Fantastic. The Crespi High, Encino, if I'm not mistaken. Great.
Yeah, we're not just going to leave that out.
No, to go
Russell White,
Crespi.
The great running back. That's where he went, right? Crespi.
Great pull. Yeah.
Look at Goo.
Look at Goo. Shout out, Cal. And
Russell
and
White.
Russell White, the Crespi and Encino, of course, hard by Sherman Oaks, Steiny.
Yeah, you're more familiar with Southern California, I think, than anybody else on the show outside of Spadoni. And that comes into play here and there, and it just did.
Yeah, so. Apropos of very little. But I think that we can talk about Mostert injury, and that's all fine and good. But when you have to bring a new center in, and no what did doubt. We talk about 2 weeks ago, Goo? We talked about this offensive line being out of sync from a communication standpoint, from a syncopation standpoint, and now you have another center coming in trying to get everything coordinated. The good news is, to me, crowd noise won't be a factor on Sunday in the early evening in Foxborough like it normally would. How big of a benefit is that to the Niners going to Foxborough in a 4:30 local start but not having to deal with the crowd?
Maybe they can use some of what's happened to them, Steiny, at home when the other team is taking advantage of the non-crowd.
Yeah, they're 1-0. They're 1-0 at home in their last one.
But can we get a weather report, Dibley? Because I turned on the Bills Chiefs yesterday. Oh, it's going to be 100 points, and it was a monsoon. So I don't know what it's going to be like Sunday. You know, Jimmy and the wet balls. Hopefully that's not an issue, you know, with the weather.
I've got sunshine. Highs expected to be in the mid-50s. With a cooling period. Some precipitation overnight Sunday into Monday, and then the heavy stuff, Steiny, really starts to come down on Tuesday.
I got Jim. You. Hey, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman committed a big, big blunder last night. They broke one of the unwritten rules of broadcasting.
That is a disgusting act.
It was something that maybe wasn't disgusting, but it's going to probably have some ramifications. That's all sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Chilton Auto Body is open to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options. Along with free pickup and delivery, Chilton Auto Body now offers virtual estimates and curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your vehicle. Book an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
I don't like any of it, to be honest with you.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson, and Dan Dibley with you. Coming up at 11:30, Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group, covers the San Francisco 49ers. He will be along with us at 11:30, and we're talking about the San Francisco 49ers coming off a nice win against the L.A. Rams, but they will go into New England next week without Raheem Mostert, their number one back. Who picks up the slack? We shall find out. There's also something I want to talk about in about 10 minutes about the most how do I want to put this? The next time I hear this, I'm going to pull my hair out. How about that? That's coming up in 10 minutes. How you can get
that's
me to pull,
my kind of tease right there.
How you can get me to absolutely pull my hair out because there's
once
something
once we find out what it is, Goo, we can use that as a possible trigger in case we want to piss Steiny off.
No doubt. That's true. That is true.
Stay tuned.
It'll be greater later, Dibs.
So last night, you know, I may let Dibs set this up because he's been in the radio business for a while. Never mind. I'll
no,
do it.
This was Sunday, Steiny. This was Green Bay and Tampa Bay.
Okay, so
just for a point of clarification,
there. So you know what? Why don't you want to take it, Dibs?
I wouldn't mind. Yeah. What's
okay. Go ahead.
Is,
go ahead.
You know, our producer who has admired me for the better part of a decade, quick to jump in and correct me. Yet when you repeatedly refer to the Buck Aikman as last night, he simply allows that to pass. Kyle, please explain.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well put.
I'm sorry.
Kyle's
yeah,
brilliant.
That's my fault. No, that's my fault.
On behalf of my brother Doug me. And middle children everywhere,
apology
not
accepted.
Wow. In fact, but we go back to Sunday, Green Bay and Tampa Bay, and you know there's not a lot of fans in the stands, Goose. So it's a little bit of a different scene. Buck and Aikman, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, Fox's number one crew.
Yeah.
They're in a break. But they're on headsets, and so they're still attached to their microphone, even though they're not broadcasting on the air in that moment. As you know, guys, in broadcasting, you always assume that the mics are hot, that the mics are live. They got caught with hot mics, and here's what happened.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
So there you have it. There you have it. If we can get that just one more time. So there's a flyover. The stadium's only about 20% full, yet they're having a flyover anyway. The ceremonial pregame moment. One more time, Aikman and Buck caught off mic.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
I mean, Stoddy, what do you, so many takeaways. What do you make of it?
Yeah, go,
well,
Stoddy.
Interestingly, yeah, the flyover can hit the pike. There's no doubt about that. I think we can all agree on that.
Okay.
Now, the thing that I thought was interesting was people were interpreting him saying that ain't happening with Kamala and Biden as supporting Kamala and Biden.
That's how I took it.
Yeah, the first time I heard it, I thought it was actually the other way, meaning, well, you won't even see any respect for the military with Kamala and Biden. So then I listened to it again, and now I don't know, but I do know mistakes were made. And prices may
this,
have to
Dibs,
be paid.
If you, if public figure people like us on the radio, the great Rick Tittle on weekends used to tell me, "Guru, the mic's hot during break." I'd be like, "Rick, ain't that mic hot? We all right." But what I'm saying is, look at Marty Brenneman in Cincinnati, cost him his career. What I'm saying is, they'll get scrutiny, but this wasn't a fireable offense. But what's scary, fellas, is it can be. They could have been saying one trigger word, and the company, as much as they love whoever it is, you're gone. G-U-E. This is scary, man.
It helps for Joe Buck that he's Joe Buck because he's got a lot of equity built up with Fox. He did their golf, their football, their baseball. He's their number one sports
voice. You saying
he
would have got a pass, Dibs? A little bit of a pass, maybe?
If this was soccer, it would probably be yellow card. It wouldn't be a straight red. Shout out Richarlison for Everton with a dangerous challenge and a three-game ban. This is just a yellow card. It's a mistake. It's not a career ender, but
no doubt.
I'm not going to say I give Joe Buck credit, but that's more the Joe Buck as the real person. He's a funny guy. He's looking to be humorous. And so in that moment, your tax dollars at work. And how many of us haven't thought that, Steiny? All the flyovers we've all seen, whether it's, you know, I'm all for the Super Bowl or a huge event. Okay, fine. But if it's, you know, week 9, do we really need to throw some planes in the air?
That's where I
kind of side with Joe, even though, you know, you would hope not to get caught on mic like that.
Two times for flyovers. Super Bowl, and then whenever the hell the Blue Angels are always in here.
I
give the Blue Angels a day.
Yeah.
Although they are very loud. Very, very loud. But I'll give the Blue Angels their day out here in the Bay, and then, yeah, Super Bowl.
No. I don't like any of it, to be honest with you.
Hey, I'm with
that
you.
That can
there,
get kept there's a, on but, the short list.
But there's a few things that, you know, those rituals and the things associated with the game. Flyovers aren't the only thing. I could think of a few other
things. What about the national anthem? We could start. If they said they weren't going to do another one, I wouldn't tear up, Dibs, and I'm American as anybody. But come on, what are we doing? These dudes are about to go gladiators. We don't need it. Come on.
it's, you know, a lot of times it's the only moment that people reflect on the country from a patriotic, unified standpoint. Now, that used to be the case. Now, the anthem isn't respected and revered like it used
people
to be
talking.
When we were younger. Yeah. And there was a time when they didn't play the anthem before sporting events. So I'm kind of with you, Guru, but at the same time, it really is the only time that you even think about, you know, the country for most people.
Real quick, Stoney, hashtag random dibs. Did you take that as an endorsement from Aikman, though, that he was on the Biden and Harris ticket?
Because I've heard it both ways, actually.
Wow.
I've heard it both ways. Because on the one hand, he's, you know, his tone is like, why are we even doing this? And then he follows it up with, you know, with Biden Harris, this wouldn't be happening. But on the other hand, like Stoney's saying, you know, this won't be, we won't have this great tribute to right. our military. So I think, like with many things these days, you can perceive it whichever way you want.
And one of the things Dibs brought up before the show was, all right, the flyover is gratuitous. We agree on that.
Yeah.
And he also asked, well, what else out there would you do away with? And I'll tell you what, I thought of one.
Y'all hear some paper shuffling, Stoney.
Well, that's just because I spilled a little coffee, that's all. let me tell you, and this may be very unpopular. I don't, like, you know what I'm talking, you know what I think it's time to get rid of? Cheerleaders and dance teams. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Cheerleaders and dance teams.
I'm with you.
I mean, come on. The Dallas Cowgirls, is that, wait.
Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Do we really need those guys anymore? Those gals? I know that might be insensitive, but it's not like, you know, it's not like if you get rid of the cheerleaders, you're going to take a lot of money out of their pockets because they don't get paid any money.
Right. Right.
Cheerleaders can go.
I think Raiders had the scandal a couple years ago with the
yeah, every team's got a scandal. The Washington football team right now is going through unbelievable amounts of lawsuit. They have 15 of their former dance team members in on a suit. It's ugly.
There's ways you could repurpose the entertainment and make it, you know, a true dance team. Like the first thing I thought about, Guru, is like the Jabberwockies. You remember that that dance group from it wasn't So You Think You Can Dance, but one of those other talent
shows. No, that's
shows.
The one Shaq was the leader of those.
Yeah,
guys.
Exactly. There you go.
He did a little guest spot with him. Something like that when you're showcasing dance, but is that really appealing to your core demographic at its heart? And, you know, that's ultimately, from an entertainment standpoint, what you have to decide.
I got a random for you, Stoney. I forgot to give it to you yesterday. I got to do it. So I don't know if you heard, Dibs, me and Stoney went back, and I said San Francisco is probably one of the most beautiful places in the world. Sunday night captured the essence of the Golden Gate Bridge with that sunset. I mean, was that not immaculate with the waves? Perfect. I mean, New York, and shout out to the Brooklyn Bridge. Nobody has it better than the Golden Gate and Bay Bridge. I put that on my kids.
Mount Bridgemore. You got them, you got the Golden Gate on Mount Bridgemore.
Well,
no,
also
that
bridge in Melbourne, Australia. No, the one in Melbourne, the Opera House. I don't know what it's called, but that definitely belongs up there.
Yeah. Like the old Sundial Bridge. A shout out, Redding, California. If you haven't been up there, it's a great little destination
for
the family.
London Bridge is also on the phone.
I believe you mean the Westgate Bridge in Melbourne.
What's that?
I believe it's the Westgate Bridge in Melbourne.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's just beautiful. I'd also put the Bixby Bridge, Dibs. Bixby Bridge has got to be there. One of the most beautiful in the world. Of course, in our own state, down in Big Sur, Bixby.
What the hell's going on, man?
That's what's going on, John. We are talking about bridges. All right, we come back. There's a football truism that's come out that people are starting to talk about. Bottom line is, it's starting to make me pull my hair out. And I've got a question for you on the other side. And you'll agree, it's something worth pulling your hair out over. That's next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.